vaccine mandates for adults and for children, division between the vaccine labor shortage, protests, shipping crisis, rising prices, mass robbery, the threat of Russia to Ukraine, the threat of China to Taiwan. The year 2021 is ending with those topics and others as well. And each of those topics can cause fear. Fear is always a common emotion, and I think you would agree with me that at this time it is being felt by many. When COVID first started, the words unprecedented times were often used, for the beginning of COVID was an unprecedented time. But doesn't all that is happening now make these times even more unprecedented? And fear can easily be experienced. Because it is common, fear is also mentioned often in the Bible. And we see its beginnings in the Bible. When Adam and Eve sinned, death entered the world, both physical death and spiritual death, which is a broken relationship with God, separation from God. And when spiritual death and physical death entered the world, so did fear. Listen to Genesis chapter 3 with me. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." That was the first moment of human fear. Fear is the result of our rebellion against God. Now, with that in mind, guess what we hear when we read the history of the first advent, the history of the first arrival of the words, "Fear not." That wonderful statement, or similar statements like it, like "be not afraid," occurs in four of the major passages concerning the first advent of Jesus. And this year, during the four Sundays of Advent, during this year full of frightening news, we are going to look at those four passages. And the name of this Advent series is therefore "Fear Not." The first passage we're going to be looking at is Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17, which is about the promise of the birth of John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the first advent of Jesus. I invite you to open your Bibles, and if you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We stand in honor of God. We recognize that this is His holy word to us. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 5. "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord, a people prepared." Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, we thank you that we can open your word and hear the words, "Do not be afraid, fear not." And Father, we pray that we would come to completely thoroughly, that we might truly rest in you and fear not. And we pray this unto your glory and honor. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. To help us understand the fear Zechariah felt and the message of the angel, I'm going to begin by explaining the special duty of Zechariah. That's my first overall point, the special duty of Zechariah. It was a very special duty for two reasons. One reason is that his division was on duty. Verse 8 says, "Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty." This is special because it only happened 2 weeks out of every year. There were a lot of priests, and not all of them could serve in the temple. So the priests were divided into 24 divisions. The divisions went all the way back to the days of David. You can read about the divisions in 1 Chronicles chapter 24. Since there were 24 divisions, each division was on duty in the temple basically 2 weeks of the year. So for that reason alone, this was a special time for Zechariah. It was his division's turn to serve. Now, with that in mind, listen to this. When a division was serving, the various duties were chosen by lot. They were chosen by lot because there were more priests in each division than there were duties. So here's what we need to realize. Not only did they merely have 2 weeks a year to serve in the temple, during those 2 weeks, they only got to serve in the temple if they were chosen by lot. Therefore, getting any duty in the temple was special. And we are told in verse 9, which I'm now adding to the screen, that Zechariah was, quote, chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Out of all of the duties, this duty was the most desired. For when performing this duty, they would get to enter the holy place. On the screen, I'm showing you a diagram of the temple. You can see that there was the Holy of Holies, and there was also the holy place. The Holy of Holies was entered only once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. The holy place was right next to the Holy of Holies, and it was entered twice a day for the burning of incense and a prayer. When the time came each day to burn incense, the people who were at the temple would stand in their various courts, and one priest was chosen by lot to enter the holy place by himself to burn incense and offer a prayer. So it was indeed a special duty. Here's what Leon Morris says about the duty in his commentary. "The offering of incense was regarded as a great privilege. A priest could not offer incense more than once in his entire lifetime. Zechariah offered the incense was the most important moment in his whole life." So it's easy to imagine Zechariah being both excited and nervous. by himself. He walked into the holy place. He was one curtain away from the Holy of Holies. Outside, all of the other people and priests were waiting for him to complete his duty and return. Verse 10 of our passage says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Now, it is while Zechariah was in the holy place performing his duty that something amazing happened. Verse 11 says, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Wow, what an experience. A frightful experience. Verse 12 makes perfect sense. Verse 12 says, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. I am sure that is what would happen to you, to me, to anyone. Zechariah was afraid. And that's what we're going to dig into next, the fear of Zechariah. That's my second overall point. Obviously, Zechariah was afraid simply because of the appearance of the angel. We are not told what the angel looked like, but regardless of his appearance, Zechariah instantly knew this was a holy moment in the holy place. And when sinners experience a holy moment before the Lord, they experience a right fear, a proper fear. We see that in other passages in the Bible. One well-known example is the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. When Isaiah said, woe is me, he, a sinner, was feeling a right proper fear before God, and surely that is what Zechariah was feeling as well when the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in the holy place. I say it is a right proper fear of God because our sin separates us from God. Our sin is rebellion against God. Our sin deserves death from God who is holy, holy, holy. That truth is what makes the message of the angel, that's my next overall point. It is recorded in verses 13 through 17. Look with me at verse 13, the first words of his message, quote, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. The first words out of the angel's mouth, do not be afraid. I encourage you to let that sink in. I believe we can rightly call these the first words that were spoken as the first advent began to unfold. Do not be afraid. This is a gracious message, a needed message, a life-giving, freeing message. To understand that, we're going to dig into this message. When the angel told Zechariah, do not be afraid, he did so for more than one reason. I'm going to highlight three reasons. One reason is certainly that he wanted to calm Zechariah's startled heart. Have you ever walked into a room in which someone is working alone, focusing on their work? That person might jump, you know, when you walk in the room with a startled heart. And you might say, hey, do not be afraid, it's only me. That is certainly what the angel was doing as well. He wanted Zechariah to know that he was not in trouble. He was not in danger. He was not going to be condemned. He had not wrongly entered the holy place. He had not wrongly offered incense. All such thoughts may have been flashing through Zechariah's mind. And so the angel said the words to calm his startled heart. But that's not the main meaning of the angel's message. We know that because the angel explains his message. Listen to what the angel says next. The rest of verse 13 says, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for," note that word, that conjunction "for," which I have underlined. It introduces the reason. Zechariah does not have to be afraid, "for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." From those words, we learn that the angel did not merely say, "Do not be afraid," to calm Zechariah's startled heart. He also said, "Do not be afraid," to calm Zechariah's heart about his personal situation. Zechariah and Elizabeth had pain in their hearts, for they were childless. Elizabeth was barren. We're told that in verse 7 of our passage. And the verse also tells us that Zechariah and Elizabeth were advanced in years. They were, in their minds, beyond the age of bearing a child. The experience of wanting a child, not being able to, why hasn't God blessed us with a child? A very painful question. And in the days of Zechariah, there could have easily been fear with the pain. You know, they didn't have Social Security and Medicare and places like Bethany Home. Parents, especially the mothers who tended to live longer, were cared for by their sons. So being childless may have caused Zechariah to be fearful for Elizabeth. I wonder how often Zechariah laid awake at night thinking about such things, wondering what to do. He obviously had prayed about it. He had almost certainly been praying for years about this. For the angel says, "Your prayer has been heard. You will bear a son." What a wonderful message for Zechariah. A hard-to-believe message. And Zechariah struggled to believe it. That's seen in the next verses of Luke chapter 1, which we're not going to look at this morning. But once Zechariah believed, this was a truly wonderful message, a message that would calm his heart about his personal situation. God was answering his prayer with a good gift. After all of the waiting, after all of the pain, God was answering their prayer. Now, I encourage you to think about this passage and realize that God has a good reason for letting years go by before Elizabeth conceived. I encourage you to realize that God wasn't hurting Zechariah and Elizabeth during those years of waiting. He was actually blessing them. For God would use Elizabeth and Zechariah to bring into this world John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for the Messiah. During all of the years that Zechariah prayed, during all of the years that he and Elizabeth felt pain, during all the years Zechariah may have been fearful for his wife Elizabeth, wondering what to do for her, God had a plan. God had an amazing plan for them. God was always hearing Zechariah's prayer, and God was always answering Zechariah's prayer. God had a plan to bless them, but beyond what they could even imagine. Now, let me read to you something Jesus once said about John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." Pretty extraordinary statement. We all think our children are the greatest, don't we? But John the Baptist actually was, according to Jesus' words. Pretty extraordinary. God had good plans for Zechariah and Elizabeth. So here's what we need to realize. Here's one application we can make from the words, "Do not be afraid." Had been having about not bearing children, all of that fear was unnecessary. It was unnecessary. God always had good plans for them. God was always addressing their personal situation. He was always answering their prayer with a good gift. I encourage you to take that to heart, for that is what God always does for all of his people, all who believe in him and look to him for salvation. Fear not. God answers the prayers of his people with good gifts. In other words, do not be afraid, were said to Zechariah, but they were recorded for us as well. These words were recorded for us. We can apply this passage by recognizing that as we believe in God and rest in him for our salvation, he is always answering our prayers with good gifts, even when it seems and feels like he is not. God's plans, his answers to prayer are always good. But they're not always pleasant in every way. God certainly did not answer Zechariah's prayer as quickly as Zechariah thought he would and he wanted him to. But God's good plan was to give them John the Baptist, a great good gift indeed. And we should realize that God may have decided to give them, God could have decided to give them a good gift besides a child. That happens. Not every Christian couple will conceive a child. Not every Christian will find a spouse. But that doesn't mean God is not answering our prayers with good gifts. Think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was single, never married, never had children, and he was killed when he was in his 30s. He was a martyr. He was beheaded. If that is all we knew about John the Baptist, if all we knew was that he was never married, never rich, by the way, the scriptures told us he ate a lot of grasshoppers for food, he died in his 30s by being beheaded. If that is all we knew about him, we wouldn't sign up for his life, would we? Sounds like a pretty bad life. But here's the truth. By God's providence, John the Baptist had an amazing life. I just read to you the words of Jesus about John the Baptist. No one greater was born of women. God always answers the prayers of his people with good gifts. His plans for his people are awesome. We might not understand them, and pain might be a part of the plans, but the plans of God are good and awesome. That's true for all of God's people. Listen to what else Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11. I just read you one sentence from verse 11. Now I'm going to read the whole of verse 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater is greater than he. That's an extraordinary promise. God has good plans for everyone who is reconciled to him. And those good plans will be fully known in the future after the second advent of Jesus. Don't forget, we have an eternity ahead of us, an eternity. God is answering our prayers with eternity in mind. That's just 100 years here on this earth. Concerning this, I want to read to you some more extraordinary words Jesus said. The words are recorded in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29 says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. God answers prayers in ways we simply cannot fathom, because he has plans we cannot fathom. He has plans that will not be fully known until his second advent. So fear not. Trust in the providence of God. Trust in his good plans, his good gifts. That is one application we can take to heart today. But that's not the main application of this passage. We've learned two reasons the angel said, do not be afraid. There's one more reason. The most important reason. He said, do not be afraid to calm Zechariah's heart about the world. An interesting part of this passage concerns the prayer Zechariah offered up in the holy place. Without a doubt, Zechariah had prayed often about his and Elizabeth being childless. He had prayed often about that without a doubt. And The angel was clearly speaking about that prayer. That prayer would be answered. They would have a son. We've already talked about that. But I submit to you, that at least wasn't the only prayer Zechariah offered in the holy place. It certainly wasn't the main prayer. He might not have even offered up that prayer in the holy place. We need to remember that Zechariah was performing his special duty. He was representing all of the people of God when he entered the holy place to offer prayer and incense. He wasn't just representing himself and his wife. He was representing all of the people. Would Zechariah have taken that moment to simply offer up a prayer about his personal life? I think that's doubtful. I don't think his personal situation is what was on his mind at that moment. Zechariah was there in the will of God. So what would have been his prayer? As we start to think about that question, let me point out something verse 6 says about Zechariah and Elizabeth, quote, "And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all of the commandments and statutes of the Lord." Zechariah and Elizabeth were passionate believers in God. They knew well the Old Testament, all the prophecies. And they believed the prophecies, the promises of God. And therefore, they were longing for the prophecies to be fulfilled. And one of the promises, one of the prophecies, is the promise of the Messiah. There's good reason to believe that during the days of Zechariah, amongst those who were passionate followers of God, there was a heightened expectation of the coming of the Messiah. One reason I say this is because of what we read in Luke chapter 2 about Simeon. Listen, "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they," and the "they" here is Joseph and Mary, "they brought him up to Jerusalem," Jesus, "to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the promised one." Simeon, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, was religious. He was devout. And he was waiting with expectation for the coming of the Messiah. And he was given this amazing promise that he would see him, which he did. So there's good reason to believe that at this time, that the passionate believers in God had this heightened expectation of the arrival, the promised arrival of the Messiah. And believers at this time certainly saw in their world a need for that arrival. Think about what was going on in Zechariah's world. The Jewish people were living under the rule of the Romans. Their future from a worldly perspective was completely uncertain. And they were also living under the rule of priests who were not righteous. They were living under priests who were coming up with their own laws of sanctification. Priests were putting these heavy burdens on them. They were priests who were proud and who did not point sinners to the grace and mercy and love of God. Zechariah was not living at a nice time for the Jewish people. The world had many problems. There was much to fear duty. To offer incense and a prayer that he poured out his heart to God for the sake of all of the people, crying out for the promised Messiah to come. We don't know. We're not told his prayer, but we are told what the angel said. Listen again to the whole message of the angel. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Zechariah was told that his son would prepare the way for the Lord, the Messiah, which is exactly what John the Baptist did. He prepared the way for Christ, who came to die on the cross, that all who believe in him might have everlasting life. And dear friends, that is the foundational reason we do not have to be afraid. That's the main application of the passage. Fear not, do not be afraid, for Christ came to make atonement for our sins, to die in our place, to reconcile us to God. The table set before us today is a reminder of that truth. And because of that truth, we do not have to fear death or any problems in this world. We're going to continue to learn about that in this series. Prayers have been answered. Christ came with the promise of everlasting life. His plans and purposes for all who trust in him for that life are good. Hear this day the words of the angel, the word of God. Trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and fear not. Come to the table with gladness. Come confessing your sins, knowing that Jesus came that you might be forgiven, and that you might live now and forever. I invite the praise team to come forward. We're going to have a time of confession via responsive reading. And then we're going to sing a hymn together, a very fitting Advent hymn for this passage that we've heard. I invite you to join me in this responsive confession of sin. Darkness at all. If we claim to fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned against you by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not fully loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always had in us the mind of Christ. You alone know how often we have grieved you by our wasting your gifts, by wandering from your ways, by forgetting your love. Forgive us, we pray you, most merciful Father, and free us from our sin. Renew us in the grace and strength of your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
To all who confess themselves to be sinners, humbling themselves before God and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, I declare this sure promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let's sing together.